Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
That's what my daughter looked like when she entered her teen years. She was just really a challenge. Her emotions were off the wall. She was angry at people. She was fighting with friends, all sorts of things. And so it was many, many years ago. And today she's a godly young woman who just got married to a wonderful man. So for those of you who are going to move into the teenage years, there's hope. You know, if you don't kill them and they survive, they usually turn out okay. And what I taught my daughter was something we called the SOG plan: self-awareness, other awareness, God awareness. And so when she was really upset, when some friends at church, you know, disappointed her, she was upset, and she just wanted to lash back or do something to hurt them and react, which would only make it worse, I said, "Now, Megan, we're going to do the SOG plan." And she'd go, "I don't want to do the SOG plan." I said, "We're going to do the SOG plan. What are you feeling?" "I'm feeling angry." "Why are you feeling angry?" "Because she said something mean about me." "What are you tempted to do?" "I'm going to say something mean about her." I said, "Okay, now let's do other awareness. If you say something mean back to her, what's she likely to do?" "Oh, I guess she'll say something more about me. And she's got a bigger circle of friends than I do. And it'll just get worse. Maybe that's not too smart." So she starts thinking through what she's feeling, what she's tempted to do, why she's feeling that. She's starting to get this self-awareness to get some control. She's starting to realize, I'd say, "Now, did you say something that offended the other girl?" "Well, all I said was this." "Well, can you see why that might have upset her?" "Oh, yeah, I guess so." And that's slowing down. It's getting out of the emotional part of the brain up to the part of the brain that we can reason. And it's bringing both the emotions and the rational part of our brain together that makes us productively functioning people. And then God awareness is, where's God in this? What's he up to? Now, the Bible says that in every situation, he's working for our good. That his ultimate goal is to conform us to the likeness of Christ, to teach us how to forgive, how to be merciful, how to be self-controlled. We went through the SOG plan probably 5,000 times during her teen years, and it helped her survive. So it's a very simple way to do, just a very simple shorthand way. Now, to be more specific, a little bit more specific, GPS or acrostics, when you're looking on how to relate to God in a consistently faithful way, think of a GPS, a geo-positioning system. Only we're going to talk about a God positioning system. It tells us, where am I in relationship to God, and how do I move ahead in life in a way that's pleasing to him on the route that he has for me? And so there's three things that I would encourage you to think about in any situation. How can I glorify God? How do I please and honor God? How do I reflect his grace, his goodness, his mercy in my life that when people look at me, they'd say, "Wow, your God must be something special." Are we reflecting the glory of God? Pursuing God. You don't develop these relational skills by just sitting there watching television. It takes work. It means being in the Word. It means being under good teaching every Sunday in fellowship and worship. It means being in a discipleship group. It means the spiritual disciplines of meditation and solitude and reflection. It takes work to pursue God. But he says, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." So it's a discipline that has a big payoff. And then serving God. In any situation, are you trying to serve yourself or are you trying to serve the Lord? Jesus in John 8:29 made a very interesting statement. He said, "The one who sent me is with me. He has never left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." That was Jesus' GPS. What would please my Heavenly Father? That was always the question on his mind. What will please my Heavenly Father? And that's what charted his course. So those are, again, just a handy little memory device. A fourth one. And by the way, I'm going over these in about 2 minutes, something we usually take about 40 minutes in a class. So there's a lot more to unpack, but I want to give you this exposure. I want you to think of your emotions as the wind that drives a sailboat. Wind has great power. If you know how to manage a sailboat, trim your sails, handle the rudder, that wind just pushes you across the lake, takes you to your destination. If you don't know how to handle the sailboat, it tips you over. Same thing with our emotions. If you know how to handle the power and the force of emotions, it moves you towards your destination. But if you don't know how to handle your emotions, it tips you over. And I've spent most of my life working with people who are continually capsized by the wind of their emotions. So here's a very simple way to start learning how to manage your emotions. You need to read your emotions, recognize them. What am I feeling? I'm feeling jealous. I think I'm feeling bitter. Ooh, I don't want to forgive her. I'm angry. I'm excited. I'm eager to do this. What's going on inside of me? Can you read your emotions? For most people, when they start this, it's very hard. They just have never developed the habit of saying, what am I feeling right now? But with practice, you can start doing it. With practice, you can start doing it. Say, what am I feeling right now? You know, I'm jealous of this other person. Why am I jealous? Because I think she's doing a better job in the ministry than I am, and the supervisor seems to be really giving her more projects, and she's getting in a more prominent place than me, and that makes me jealous. Is jealousy a dangerous emotion? Yeah, the Bible warns against it all the time. It can destroy relationships. So to understand, both recognize what the emotion is and say, why do I feel that way? What is going on inside of my heart to make me feel that way? So evaluate the emotion. What's the source of it? In fact, it's a verse there you can think of is James 4, 1 and 3. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires, from your passions that war within you? We want something but don't get it, and that's what causes a lot of conflict. Third thing is to anticipate the emotion. What's going to happen if I follow the emotion? I'm angry, I'm going to blurt out something against my boss. It's not going to be very good. It's not a very smart thing to do. And so that leads us to the fourth one, is to direct that emotion in a constructive way. How do I do it? Now, what this does is, when you feel intense emotion, you can actually, with a functional MRI, they can see which parts of your brain are working most actively. And when we first feel an intense emotion, our limbic system, particularly our amygdala, is very active. I mean, it's really flashing. And if you stay there and just have the emotion going on, that's when you blurt out and do things that are destructive, you later regret. But if you start this process, it actually, they can see the brain activity move from the limbic system, the emotional part of your brain, up to the part that God gave us to reason. It's where the sermons are stored and the scriptures are memorized and the life experiences are stored, and we think rationally. And we start saying, okay, here's the proper thing to do. Here's what would honor God. And this is a process that helps you engage your full mind, the mind that God has given you. So that's how to deal with your self-awareness, self-control. And then finally, I'm going to illustrate this last quality in a second of how do you engage others. I just want to give you an illustration of someone who's incredibly good at engaging people around him. That sort of goes to the question you asked, can we love everybody? You know, we can't give them all of our money, we can't give them all of our time, but a little gesture here, a little act of kindness there, you can. So here's a way to start looking at, can you relate to the people around you at some level, some really deeply and intensely, your spouse, your kids, but others in a casual way. And I want you to think of the metaphor of an eagle at this point, that as you engage other people, make it your goal that in that conversation you are putting some wind under their wings. That's how eagles get up to high elevations. It's not by flapping. It's by catching thermal currents with their wings and being carried up to high elevations. And what we can do as Christians is whoever we engage, we can put some wind under their wings in some very simple ways. Number one, simply smile. Smiles have enormous power. There is a physiology to smiles. When you smile, it changes literally the chemistry of your body. It reduces cortisol. It increases in other things, reduce stress. It's amazing. And smiles are contagious. When I walk into grocery stores now, I'm an introvert naturally. I just sort of want to be in my world, but I'm learning to come out of it. And I'll go into grocery stores, I walk down the aisle, I just try to smile at people and catch their eyes, and they sort of go, whoo. But there's this phenomenon called mirror neurons. When you smile at somebody, in their mind, little neurons light up, and pretty soon, they smile. And when they smile, guess what? They feel better. One person entering a room and smiling can change the mood in an entire room. It's incredibly powerful. There's a blog on our website just called 7 Benefits of a Smile. I encourage you to read it. It'll be a life changer. Secondly is explore and empathize. Learn to ask questions. Learn to get to know people. Learn to show an interest in people. And learn to express empathy. In that first clip we saw with the man and the woman when she was sharing all of her problems, and he said, that sounds really hard. And she goes, thank you. Sometimes that's all it takes is someone to say, that must have been really hard. That can mean a lot to people, just to show some empathy for their lives. Third is reconcile. There's a broken relationship. If you sense tension, to go to that person and say, something happened. Have I done something to offend you? Or maybe you see two friends that used to be very close and now they seem to be sort of distant. Maybe God wants you to be the one to come in and actually be a peacemaker and resolve things. Fourth is to value people, to say thank you, to express admiration. If you're in your room at this conference and the housekeeper comes in and is cleaning your room, do you thank her? Do you tell her what a great job she's doing keeping the room so pleasant, what a nice hotel this is? There's so many people out there, just a word of appreciation, word of thanks. If you develop the habit with them, you're more likely to do it with your coworkers, with your kids, with your spouse. We should be in a constant state of recognizing how God is working in people's lives and thanking them. And finally, just to encourage people. The word encourage means to give courage, to inspire, to put wind under their wings. And I want to encourage you to make it your goal as you're talking with other people, especially on your ministry team, especially those in your closest inner circle, that when you're done with that conversation, as you walk away, you're going to realize they've been encouraged. So instead of putting bricks on their back, with criticism, with discouragement, with pessimism, with grumbling, with complaining, put wind under their wings with encouragement, drawing attention to the evidences of God's grace in their lives. So those are some very simple acrostics. I want to encourage you to develop a plan to pursue these things. I'd hate to have you spend an hour here, walk out the door, and nothing happens. So I want you to take seriously what Paul says here. Practice these things. Immerse yourselves in them, so others would see your progress. And here's just a couple of very practical things you can do. If you go to our website, we've got a weekly blog where every week on Monday morning, we just put out a very simple little reminder of how to do one of these skills. So it's a daily reminder or a weekly reminder of some of these skills and very practical applications. You can also go to our website and sign up for what's called the Personal Study Course. And it's a free 7-week devotional that you can take, that can take you into these principles in a lot more depth. So it'll take you through all this material over a 7-week period, take you a lot deeper. And then someday, if you want to go even deeper and turn around and teach these principles, to teach actually our full one-day seminar, there's a course called our 201 Approved Presenter Training, and you can sign up for that. It's typically $150, but we have scholarships available. So if you want to take that training, you need a scholarship to make it affordable, just go to our website, fill out the form, let us know. Our goal is to equip Christian leaders to be, first of all, living these principles out, and then secondly, to be teaching them to other people.